Good morning, everybody. Good morning. A really good morning. I hope you're having a great first weekend of April and hope it continues to be. And if the weather cooperates, we'll have an eclipse. Guess we'll have it whether we like it or not on Monday afternoon. And it's probably the last thing we'll talk about on that. You're getting enough of that everywhere else you turn. We're talking gardening this morning. Your landscape, your vegetable garden, your lawn. House plants, patio plants, trees, shrubs, whatever it is. You get the picture. Give me a call, won't you please? Jared Taylor is running the boards and answering the phones to get calls screened for me. That's 888-256-1080. 888-256-1080 for the Texas Lawn and Garden Hour. Please give a call right now. Love to hear from you. Love to have a chance to help you with the plants at your place. That's all it takes, one quick call. And we broadcast to about 33 stations statewide. I'm turning my headphone volume down just a little bit. I'm about to go deaf in here. 888-256-1080 for the Texas Lawn and Garden Hour, live on this Saturday morning. We'll be here for almost an hour. We call it the Texas Lawn and Garden Hour. It would be kind of odd to call it the Texas Lawn and Garden 53 minutes or whatever it is. Just a couple of pointers. This is the time that you can fertilize just about any plant that you're growing. We can talk more about it, but for most of Texas, that means that you need to apply a very high nitrogen, maybe all nitrogen fertilizer. It's a good idea to have your soil sampled and tested at least every 3 or 4 years, 4 or 5 years, something like that, to keep a monitor of how things are changing. If you want to do it more often, there's nothing wrong with that. Especially if you have a sandy soil, things can change fairly quickly. Sands tend not to hold nutrients very well. They just go right on through, you can imagine. Clays have a lot of surface area, just a monumental amount of surface area. And so when elements get into the clay soils, they tend to be held for long periods of time. And phosphorus, the middle number of the three number analysis you see on fertilizer bags, phosphorus is slowly soluble in water. And when we put it on, a lot of it sticks around and doesn't dissolve and it accumulates. And that's why you see so many soil tests coming back from the Texas A&M Soil Testing Laboratory and most other good laboratories. You'll see the test results coming back saying, don't put on any more phosphorus. You have plenty already. Oh my goodness, don't put any more on. And first time I saw that, which was a lot of years ago, I thought, these people are crazy. I'm growing tomatoes and roses. Why would I want to put all nitrogen? And then I began to realize, and they explained, that's because the phosphorus is accumulating and it can become almost damaging because it does affect the uptake of other nutrients into the plants, into the plant's roots. So don't be surprised if your soil test shows that you need only nitrogen, the first number of the analysis. And you say, well, I'll go out and buy myself a bag of 2100. No. That's fast release nitrogen. That's like putting yourself on a diet and using fast release food, which would be soda pop. And that's not good. That's all sugar and it's fast release. You get a lot of energy, and then 2 weeks later, you're out of energy. In the case of a lawn, you don't have any more nitrogen left. You want a fertilizer that has some of that, but it also needs to have slow release nitrogen included. 30, 35, 40% of the nitrogen should be slow release. Talk to your nurseryman. Talk to your hardware store. I'm talking about an independent retail hardware store where you have people who are in that department all the time. The same with a feed store. They'll know how to show you on the bag or on a bottle, but especially on bags, how to tell when you're getting an encapsulated or coated form of nitrogen. I have put everybody back to bed already. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to go that far into this. We're here to talk about gardening, and I went off to Mars. Phone number again, give me a call, won't you please? 888 256 1080. Everybody's stuck in traffic on the highways already. I worry that may be the case. Now, my wife and I are staying put. We're going nowhere. I figure if we can't see it from where we are, we don't need to see it. We'll go out in the yard. that's the beginning on fertilizing, and that applies in most cases. The one exception being the sandy soils, where you might need a little bit of the middle number. That applies to all of our state, and it applies to everything from flowering plants to vegetables to lawn grasses. So there you go. Let me take a break, and then we will go to our calls and go to some other topics that I want to talk to you about today. And but the main point being that I want to help you with the questions that you have, if you have any. So give a call, 888-256-1080. Neil Sprague's Lone Star Gardening is my book. It is a book I spent a year of my life writing for you because I wanted to have a book that would reflect everything that I've talked about for my whole career on radio and everything I've written about in my columns and in my other books and everything else. You know, you write a lot for a publisher and then they say, well, that's nice, but we want it to be half as long. We're going to take these things out. And you like that, you say, who's this we? You did it. You're the one who shortened it. And they've hired an editor who is not a gardener at all. And they say, well, we just decided this needs to go away. Yikes. Well, this book, my editor was my friend Carolyn Scott. She is a fabulous person. She also is a master gardener. She was publication editor for her career of one of the major universities in California, a senior editor at that university. And she had been editor of my magazine all the years that I had that. And I knew Carolyn very well already. And I said, would you edit a book for me? And she said, I'd be happy to. And we worked together on this book. Cindy Smith had been a graphic designer for me on the last 10 annual gardening calendars that I did and on some other projects. And we all three of us had worked on some not-for-profit projects. We knew how to work together. And so this is the team that assembled this book, Neil Sprague's Lone Star Gardening. It ended up with 344 pages. We didn't cut anything. We shortened it at Carolyn's suggestion here and there, but I got to reword everything. So all the facts are there. All the graphs and the charts and the descriptive pages, 344 pages, but 840 photographs in that. They're my photos. Carolyn has one of hers. She had said, Neil, would this help you at all? It's a photograph of herbs and things that at a garden she had been to in Texas that I was not going to be able to get. And so that's what makes up this book. 11 chapters. Chapter 1, The Basics of Gardening in Texas. Chapter 2, The 48-Page Calendar of When to Do Everything. And I've never had that in a book before. Chapters 3 through 11 are trees, shrubs, vines, ground covers, annuals, perennials, lawns, fruit, and vegetables. If that sounds like something that would help you garden more successfully, good. That's what I wanted it to be. And it's only $34.95. The list price on it, the jacket price, is $30. It's not a jacket, it's the cover price, hardback price, $38.95, but I've put it on sale for you. And it's not in stores, not on Amazon. You buy it by calling my office Monday through Friday business hours at 800-752-GROW. 800-752-GROW. The better way is to order it right now at my name, neilsperry.com. NEILSPERRY.com. Neil Sperry's Lone Star Gardening. By the way, that's satisfaction guaranteed, and you'll get a signed copy. If you're looking for reliable, localized nursery help, you need to be looking for a Texas certified nursery professional. These are men and women who have studied long and hard hours. They've passed a really difficult exam that covers all aspects of horticulture. Their advice is timely. Their advice is reliable. Their products are top-notch. These are the professional nursery people. They're at independent retail garden centers across Texas. This is something about which I have believed all of my career. If I hadn't gone into broadcasting, this was my dream, to be one of these people. These are my friends. These are the people I want to talk about. And it's Texas certified and master certified nursery professionals. I'm proud to recommend them to you. This is not a paid ad. This is a commentary on my part. I just firmly believe in the Texas Certification Program of the Nursery Professionals. So I hope you'll look for their name badges. I hope you'll look for their emblems at independent retail garden centers across Texas. Texas Certified and Master Certified Nursery Professionals. And shop there today. It's a great day to go nursery shopping. I'll be back with more after this message. Thank you, Kelly, very, very much. Yeah, if you're in Amarillo or Victoria, if you're in Corpus Christi or Bryan College Station, Crockett, or anywhere in between, if you're in San Angelo or if you're in Brownwood, if you're in any of the city, Alpine, hello, Alpine, give me a call. It is, again, 800. It is not either. Let's start that over again. 888-256-1080. I'll do it again. 888-256-1080. 1080. There's some pruning that is very, very critical at this time of year, and that is pruning of all of your spring flowering shrubs and vines. They bloom on growth that they make the prior year. Well, this is the prior year. You prune them now so that you can reshape them so that they can grow this year to bloom on that growth next year. I seem to be able to take the simplest of ideas and turn it into something complicated. I don't mean to do that. But this is the time that with a forsythia or bridal wreath or azaleas as they wrap up their bloom, that you reshape those plants, hopefully not into some box or globe or almost said circle or globe or something of that sort, but into a natural form. But if you have an errant growth, limbs sticking way out or something of that sort, this is the time that you prune those off selectively and reshape the plants. If you need to prune them back a bit and do a little bit of pruning into a globe or an oval of some sort, then that's okay. Just try not to do it time after time after time all summer long. But then you put on a very high nitrogen or all nitrogen fertilizer to stimulate that new growth, water it in very deeply, and encourage that new growth, and they will be beautiful next year. You follow it up then with another feeding in early June, and maybe yet another feeding, maybe in mid to late summer. And then in early fall, you might go to something a little bit higher in the middle number, because that's when the buds will set for next year. The flower buds on plants like wisteria and forsythia and bridal wreath are set in fall and winter. And that's why you don't prune them when you prune your evergreen shrubs. You prune them in the spring right after they finish blooming. And I know some of these plants I just mentioned bloomed a few weeks ago, and they've been starting their new growth already, especially in South Texas. If you need to prune those, go ahead and do a little bit of it. You haven't lost everything by waiting this long. But that pruning is done in the spring. That's the magic answer is, when do you prune spring flowering shrubs and vines? And the answer is right after they finish blooming. If you have vigorous new growth on things like hollies and boxwood and other evergreen shrubs that don't necessarily bloom, and you say, well, gosh, they're getting too tall, can I cut them way back? Answer is yes, you can do that. I would surely not advise that you do it now, because if you prune them way back now, you're going to be looking at stubble for a long time, maybe all summer. It's going to hurt them badly. They've just given their all to put out that new growth for you for this year. The time to do that kind of major reshaping and pruning would be in January or early February, so you can take advantage of the new growth in the spring. And this is like an example I always give is you have a runner who's just come in from a marathon, and you ask him to run a 100-yard dash. That's the production of new growth. You don't ask a plant that's just put out all that new growth this spring to do it again. And so better to wait. Do a modest pruning now to get through. But yes, you can reshape these plants and prune them way back by 20 or 30%, not much more than that. But that needs to be done during the winter dormant period before the new growth starts. A couple of things, and we'll talk about what do you do with new shade trees, new oaks and other trees now that they're planted. I have some really important tips on how to care for brand new shade trees. I'll have them right after this message. I want to tell you about Fertilome. You heard me talk about the importance of buying at independent retail garden centers a minute ago, and I'm going to drive that home a little harder. Fertilome as a company and the high yield products also, they're all part of the same family of products from the Voluntary Purchasing Group, VPG, in Bonham. It's a Texas-based company, and they are beholden to the independent retail garden centers. They are one and the same. You need to buy from independent retail garden centers where you can get this fine family of products. And I'm going to talk about specifically one of their products, Fertilome's Weed Free Zone. If you missed getting high yield turf and ornamental weed and grass stopper pre-emergent down, you may have some weeds that have been popping up in your yard. And if that's the case, Fertilome Weed Free Zone is one of the few weed killers you can use early in the spring, all the way through the spring, to kill the weeds. When it's cool, when it's warm, and everywhere in between, it will control more than 80 broadleafed weeds for dandelions, chickweed, and so many more. You'll see rapid and effective broadleaf weed control with visible results within 24 hours, and soon your lawn will be, let's say it together, class, a weed-free zone. No matter where you live, whether it's out west in our listening area, up north in the Panhandle, down in the southern parts of the state, or over in the Piney Woods, you name it, and the product called Fertilome Weed-Free Zone is going to do the job for you. Always ask for Fertilome and high yield products. Fertilome, a weed free zone, is available at independent retail garden centers, hardware stores, and feed stores, farm supply stores all over Texas. Fertilome. I'll be back with more after these messages. All right, Kelly, thank you very much. 888-256-1080. There is something that I want to share with you on shade trees, and we've talked about it before, and I want to drive it home now. This may be the time that I'll catch the most people's attention because this is a time when it's fresh in your mind. If you have a new shade tree that you planted this late winter or spring, or if you're going to be planting one in the next, anytime, rest of your life, but just keep a couple things in mind. When you plant that tree, don't dig the hole any deeper than necessary. So here's what you do. You're planting it yourself. Let's say you didn't buy a gigantic tree that has to be planted by somebody else. So you take a yardstick out and you measure the distance from the soil line. You have it sitting on the driveway, and you measure from the driveway up to the top of the soil in the pot, just to the soil line, not the top of the pot, but the soil line. That's how deep you need to dig the hole. No deeper. You don't want to plant this thing deeper than necessary. The reason for that is if you dig it, let's say it's 14 inches in the container, 14 from the top of the soil down to the bottom of the pot. If you dig it 16 inches, you say, oh, it needs some soft soil down there for its roots to grow. Those roots will grow. You don't have to worry about them. They'll take care of that. But if you dig it, we'll say 16 inches deep, and put nice soft soil down there, you know what happens to soil over time? It settles. Do you ever see a trench where a pipeline was cut in into a yard, a irrigation line maybe, and they just filled it level? And you go back a year later and you can see the depressed area where that soil has settled and packed down. Even when they pile it up over it, lots of times you can see right where the sprinkler line went in. So you want to plant it at the same depth at which it was growing in the pot. Dig it 14 inches deep. You'll have a little extra soil left, and I personally prefer to use that to make a basin around the tree to retain water. I will make that basin on the outside of where I've dug. I absolutely do not pile that soil up around the trunk of the tree. No. Landscape crews do that, and I'll tell you why they do it. I've had them tell me why they do it. And that is so they don't have to carry it back to the truck. Don't pile soil over the root flare, over the trunk of the tree. All right, so you make that basin out. It's like a donut, like a spare tire inner tube out there around the outer edge of the hole you made. That way, when you put the hose on top of it and into the center of it, you can let the water run at a slow rate. And if you have a water bubbler that lets the water flow at a good rate of speed, it's the shape of your fist, and water comes out. It's not a water breaker like a spray head. Water bubbler. Most people are not familiar with them. Look them up. Water bubbler. And you let that run in the hole and fill that. So twice a week during the summertime, you want to give that tree as much water as the soil ball has. And if it's a 15-gallon pot, you want to put 15 gallons of water on it two or three times a week in the summer. You don't do it with a sprinkler system. You don't do it with just standing there spritzing the water out with your thumb. You put the hose in that basin that you have created and soak it. Trees are grown in lightweight soil mixes. They have a lot of sand and bark, and so they don't hold a lot of water. It drains through. All right, so that's the reason I do all that. After a couple of years, or after maybe 1 year, usually after 2 years, I will take my hoe and I will break that berm that I've made, that basin, the donut, apart, and just let it disperse out over the yard. It's not enough soil to show up. It won't matter at all. Okay, so that's how I water them. All right, the other thing you have to do when you plant your tree, or back to planting day now, is make sure that it is plumb, P-L-U-M-B. It's almost a silent B, plumb, vertical, straight up. You never get a second chance. If you don't get it straight that day, you have to dig it and reset it. You can't stake it. You can't put a wire around it and pull it over there, or put a... You can't do it. If you do that and let it go 3 years later, it'll go right back to being cockeyed. So put a stake in right alongside it to hold it vertically. Put guy wires in to hold it vertically. The way to stake and guy a tree trunk to hold it vertically would be to put three stakes in out away from the trunk, outside that berm, and use cables or good taut rope that won't stretch like cotton rope will, and run that through a piece of garden hose, old garden hose, up around the trunk so you don't rub the trunk, and don't let it be taut, don't let it be tight around the trunk so that it will girdle the trunk, and keep it taut at all times. I like to have one of those stakes due south, pointing straight south from the trunk, because our prevailing winds in Texas are from the Gulf of Mexico south. Then I have one that is on the northeast side and one on the northwest side. You get your wind tilt from the south in the growing season. That's why you need to have it on the south side. The winter winds aren't going to push the tree out of plumb. It's the south winds. And leave those in place for a couple of years. Yeah, I know it's annoying to have to mow around them and trim around them, but you want your tree to be straight. You have to do that on trees that are 10, 15 gallons and bigger. And then the thing that I can't say nobody, that 99% of the people fail to do, even nurseries don't do this, wrap the trunk of the tree with paper tree wrap. I get all kinds of arguments about this, but I've seen it work so beautifully. Paper tree wrap from the ground up to the lowest branch. Now, this is critical with three or four species. With others, I could negotiate, but not on Schumard red oaks, water oaks, chinkapin oaks, Chinese pistachios, red maples, not Japanese maples that have red leaves, but red maple, Acer rubrum. Those must be wrapped because their bark is so thin that when it's taken out of a nursery setting and put out in the open by itself, those trunks get sun scald after, you don't notice it the first year, but it happens in that first year. After two or three years, the bark begins to split on the southwest or west sides. It pops loose. The bark starts to decay. The trunk is lost. The tree is lost after 4 or 5 years, and you have to start over. When just $4 or $5 worth of tree wrap would have saved that whole tree. So that's how you take care of a new tree. That's more than you ever heard anybody tell you on radio on care of a new tree. It's really important information, and nobody goes through the whole litany of the information. I have that illustrated in my book, and I'm going to do an ad for my book right now, and it's all there. The photo that I chose to use is a wonderful photo of how to do everything. By the way, when you put guy wires in on a tree, those three wires at south and northeast and northwest, keep them taut. So often I see trees where they just hang limp, the wires are. What's the purpose of that? That doesn't do any good at all. Keep them tight and taut. Anyway, the photo that I have in my book is absolutely perfect, except they didn't wrap the trunk, and I point that out. So, my book is Neil Spray's Lone Star Gardening, and it would be nice if you could walk into a bookstore and buy it, or a nursery or some other place, but it's not in stores. It's not on Amazon. That was a decision I had to make, and I knew it would cost me tens of thousands of sales. I knew it would cost me a lot of money, but I wanted to be able to sign the books and as I sold them, and then therefore as I mailed them to you, this will come directly from my signing table to your mailbox. That's how it works. I take them to the post office myself. Neil Spray's Lone Star Gardening. It's in its sixth printing now, and it's not sixth edition. There have been six major changes. There have been six printings, and there are tiny little, like one word changes between printings. But anyway, it has 344 pages, 840 of my photographs. It was printed in San Antonio. It is a hardback on high-quality paper, and I guarantee your satisfaction, or I'll refund every penny that you spend on this book. It's Neil Spray's Lone Star Gardening. Chapter 1 is the basics of gardening in Texas, the things you have to know to get you started. Chapter 2 is a 48-page calendar that tells you in 4 pages per month what you need to plant, prune, fertilize, and protect in that month. You'll never have to wonder again, when should I do this or that? It's all right there in the calendar. Then chapters 3 through 11 are very detailed chapters, including long charts where it's appropriate, a lot of photographs on trees, shrubs, vines, ground covers, annuals, perennials, lawns, fruit, and vegetables. All of that information, all in one book, a hardback book, and all for only $34.95. It's like hiring me as a consultant for a year for only $34.95. Satisfaction guaranteed. Indeed, I've sold 86,000 copies of the book, 87,000, I guess it is now, and not one request for a refund yet. So pretty happy with that, and I think you'll be very happy with the book. Here are the two ways you can buy it, since it's not in stores and not on Amazon. You order it from my website or you call my office. The office phone number, weekday business hours, 800-752-GROW. 800-752-4769. And the better way is to order it right now at neilsperry.com. NEILSPERRY.com. It's Neil Sperry's Lone Star Gardening. More after these messages. All right, Kelly Robinson, thank you very much. And we are live. If you'd like to call, you better call quickly. It's 888-256-1080 for the Texas Lawn and Garden Hour. It's a crazy, crazy weekend across Texas. Let me discuss a couple more things with you that are of great importance. We talked about the chance that you have now to fertilize your lawn. If your lawn is greening up this spring, but not exactly. Join the crowd. There's a lot of outcry from people who have lawns that are very brown this spring, especially St. Augustine. And this just kind of gets in line with what we have experienced for several years with St. Augustine. It comes out of the blocks very slowly in the spring, and In many cases, that is take all root rot or take all patch. These patch diseases have become quite prevalent with gray leaf spot in the summer and brown patch in the fall. And this is kind of the newest entry. The gray leaf spot and take all root rot came, at least to my experience, came along about the same time, 30 years ago. Take all root rot, here's how it manifests in St. Augustine. It is a cool season disease. It shows up in the spring when areas of the lawn are yellowed and just not very thrifty looking. Parts of the lawn green up, parts of the lawn don't green up. In the case of this year, what I'm hearing is that a lot of St. Augustine just isn't greening up at all. It's just brown. And it's hard to know without being on the lawn and pawing around a little bit on it. It's also hard to know without having been on that lawn last year in the summer and seeing what the homeowner was doing with it at that point. There was a lot of chinch bug damage last summer, and a lot of people just are not very observant. Forgive me for saying that. You're listening to a gardening program. You're probably very observant. But a lot of people just think that their lawn burned up or got too dry or something or other, and they water and it didn't help, and well, it just burned up. And in reality, it was just an outbreak of chinch bugs. Chinch bugs are small black insects, smaller than BBs. They're black with irregular white diamonds on their backs, one diamond per chinch bug. And they live on the surface of the soil, feeding off the runners and leaves, I guess probably the runners, and just sucking the life out of it. The lawn looks dry, but when you water, it doesn't respond. It just continues to go downhill. When you look at it initially, the lawn has that olive drab folded blade, gosh, I'm thirsty, give me some water look to it, and you water it and it doesn't help. It will always be in the hottest, sunniest part of your yard. If the brown spots that you're seeing this spring are irregularly shaped and they're in the hottest, sunniest part of your yard, then that may be old chinch bug damage from last year, and it's not going to green up in the spring. It was probably killed by chinch bugs last year. So I wouldn't blame that on take-all root rot necessarily. Now, let's assume that it also goes over into shaded areas. Then that kind of rules out chinch bugs and brings up the chance of take-all root rot, because it does not respect just full sun. It will go into the shade. And in that case, the grass will try to green up, but it will be lethargic and it will look sickly. When you pull on that grass, it will be not very well attached to the soil. And when you do get it loose from the soil, you look at it, the roots will be dark black, not a healthy light tan color. They'll be short. They'll be, like I say, rotted. Take all root rot. Oh, there's our clue. And that's an indication that there's something bad going on in the soil. And that's the fungus. Early on, it was identified that an acidic soil environment right there at the surface would help. And a couple of organic material products were suggested. One was, and then a second one was, and the second one was not a specific brand. The first one was, but then my friend Dr. Phil Cobol with Texas Agricultural Experiment Station said, Neil, we have found that sphagnum peat moss will help a lot with take all root rot, and it did. But more recently, Phil contacted me. He's retired by then, and he contacted me and said, Neil, the fungicide azoxystrobin does a better job because it actually kills the organism rather than just suppressing it. And I was worried about using that much peat moss to control a disease in our state. How much peat moss is there in the world, and how much are we using every year? And if there's something better to control the fungus and actually stop it rather than just suppressing it, wouldn't we want to use the azoxystrobin? And I'll tell you how to get it without having to worry about the spelling of azoxystrobin. And indeed, that is the better way to go. The only company that I'm aware of that has that in their product line is Scotts. They are not a sponsor of this program, but they have it in their Disease X product. And so that should help you, could help you. So keep that in mind, that the Disease X product would help with take-all root rot if you have that. I'd rather see you use that than to use peat moss and plus putting an inch of peat, breaking it up out of the dry bales and spreading it around. That wears you down. So that's a little bit on lawn care. Let me tell you about Neil Spray's eGardens. That's my free Thursday night electronic newsletter. It comes from my computer directly to your email. I send it out at about 6 o'clock. Gretchen hooks it up with constant comment to go out at that time. We have about 80,000 subscribers. It is free, as I said, and it always will be free, as it has been for 20 years. There are five stories in eGardens each week. One of the stories is a plant of the week. One of the stories is gardening this weekend, where I tell you about things that you need to do that weekend. Well, that part's busy this time of year. And one of the stories is my answer to your gardening questions. I enjoy that part very much. So that's eGardens. I hope you'll look at it. And there are two other stories of varying topics. If you want to see what it looks like, go to my website. That's where you sign up for it. You have to subscribe to it. But I will never give or sell your email address to anybody. I don't look to see where it is. So you never get a spam message from me that says, hey, since you're a subscriber to eGardens, thought you'd like to know about this special offer or that special offer. I don't operate that way. You get eGardens. That's all you signed up for. And that's Thursdays, every Thursday. Go to neilsperry.com, NEILSPERRY.com, and you'll see one of the navigation buttons at the top that says eGardens. Click on that. It'll take you to the page where you sign up. But even before you sign up, you can see what it looks like. Click on the most recent issue part of that, and you'll see what this last one that came out 2 days ago looks like. Neil Sperry's eGardens at neilsperry.com. Once again, I want to tell you about the certification program of the Texas Nursery and Landscape Association. This association is renowned for being one of the strongest in America. It's of the nursery industry, the men and women who have banded together many decades ago to make their industry stronger. They consider themselves to be friends of one another, and they have joined arm in arm to strengthen their industry. It's been fun to be a part of this and to watch this industry grow. One of the ways that it has grown is in the certification program. This is a tough program. These men and women study long and hard hours. They take a comprehensive exam that really proves they know their horticulture. If you want reliable nursery advice, timely nursery advice, this is where you need to shop. At member nurseries of the Texas Nursery and Landscape Association, where you see the name badges and emblems of Texas Certified and Texas Master Certified Nursery Professionals. I'll have more after this message. That is Kelly Robinson. Kelly and I have been friends almost 40 years. We have worked together, and I appreciate his stepping in on Saturdays to help out here as well. And Jared Taylor as well has been helping all morning. Thank you, Jared. The chance to meet with you every Saturday at this time is very special to me, so I hope you'll give us a listen every week. The phone number, if you'd like to call in early next week, is 888-256-1080. Jared opens the phone lines up about 5 minutes before the program begins, so that is your opportunity to get a line early on, and I'd love to hear from you. I want to share just a couple of things with you on mixing the perfect potting soil. I don't have a lot of time to talk about it, but basically when I'm mixing a potting soil, I want a lot of sphagnum peat moss. I want some pine bark mulch, and I want perlite. And if it's a potting soil for a pot, I'll put expanded shale in. My basic mix is going to be about 50% sphagnum peat moss. and probably about 25% finely ground pine bark mulch. I'll put about 10 or 15% perlite and about 10 or 15% expanded shale. I will increase the expanded shale if I'm trying to grow cacti and succulents. I will decrease if I'm growing ferns and things that need more moisture. And if it's hanging baskets, I don't put the expanded shales too heavy. So that gives you an idea. Don't know if the numbers added up right, but that's a start. Thanks for listening, everybody. Happy gardening.